Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies profiled. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here along with Shad Markowitz. We are your hosts for this weekend show. Also your hosts on our website and podcast, that is kereport.com and Corlin Economics Report if you're searching in your podcast player. We had another busy week, a lot of daily editorials, a lot of company updates. Please be sure to go back through our website through this past week and click on those market updates as well as company updates, and please share your thoughts with us as we always love hearing what all of you think of the markets and of the stocks we are bringing on. This weekend show, we're going to focus a fair bit on broad markets and also precious metals as always, but I'm very excited to say that we are kicking off the show with Richard Postma, aka Doc, and we will get into precious metals comments, but we're going to make all of you wait for the second segment as I do want to start off more big picture with Doc regarding U.S. equity markets. So, Doc, U.S. markets have shown some weakness through the first month of this year and even blending into February at the tail end of the week. We saw some disappointing earnings out of some of the high-flying tech stocks, especially Facebook, or now known as Meta. This weakness really has a lot of people, I think, more concerned than they usually are because it's happening at the beginning of the month, and it's also tying in with a tightening of central bank policy. Let's just start off high-level, Doc. Your thoughts on the U.S. equity markets. Have we seen the low, or do you think more weakness is to come?
I believe more weakness has come, Corey. We're having a nice little rally, and I think it probably is going to continue the rest of this month. It may not get up to where we saw it at the beginning of January, but I think February will be a month where the markets tend to move grudgingly higher a little bit. And then I think people better be careful about March when everybody's anticipating what the Fed's going to do. So I think we're okay with the conventional markets for the next couple, 3 weeks. We had a little sell-off today, but I don't think that's significant. So we're going to muddle around up here, I think, for most of February.
Well, Doc, it's possible that there's been a slight tone change overall in the markets from 2020 and 2021 as we moved into 2022, because it seemed like for the longest time, the markets could only go up. There was only one direction. Every time there was a pullback to the 50-day moving average, it was bought right back. And almost every sector was at nosebleed valuations to the point where people were saying valuations don't matter anymore. All that matters is the narrative. And now it's not really just January and February. It really started at the end of last year in November and December. Almost every sector that was racing higher, whether it's the meme stocks, the cryptos, the Cathie Wood's ARK Innovations, stay-at-home stocks like the Pelotons and the Zooms, the payment stocks like the Squares and the PayPals, the social media stocks, they've all corrected. The small caps, the Russell 2000. And my question to you is, do you think that we're actually going to see more of a return to sanity as far as how companies are valued, how earnings reports are viewed, and where these things got to in valuations versus where they really should have been in valuations? Do you think we'll see a return to more of a focus on valuations?
Yes, I do. And I think in the future that the value stocks will outperform over the growth stocks. And already we're seeing some of these growth stocks start to get hit in different areas like biotech and some of the NASDAQ stocks. You know, a lot of these stocks were at nosebleed level, and the profits did not justify those levels. And so when they just miss a little bit, everybody's edgy now. When they miss a little bit, you just get a tremendous tremendous sell-off, like we've seen with Netflix and Facebook. There's more to come, as far as I'm concerned. So I think going forward in the next year, growth stocks will get hit pretty hard, I believe. Value stocks, of course, initially with a general market sell-off, will also pay a price. But value stocks, on a comparative basis, I believe, will do better. And I also believe that commodities will probably go into a trading zone and maybe sell off a little bit because of the increase in rates by the Feds. But commodities will hold up better than, I believe, the growth stocks. And the third area, I think, to look for are the emerging markets, which have really gotten crushed, most of them. I think they will do better than the U.S. markets.
Doc, how much of this weakness that we are seeing broadly in U.S. equity markets are simply due to the fact that central banks are going through a tightening process? This week we heard from the BOE, the Bank of England, as well as the ECB. It was just the last week that we heard from the Fed. And overall, outside of, I guess, the People's Bank of China, central banks are getting tighter, and that is pulling some of that liquidity, that additional liquidity that kept getting added month after month out of these markets. I know it's too easy of an answer, but is this the main driver behind this weakness right now?
Absolutely, Corey. And also, I might say, them taking away the stimulus money that they pumped into the economy in 2021, but it's primarily the action of the central banks. When these traders and people that invest based on just money printing, when you start to take that away from them, it makes a lot of them very nervous. Plus, I think the other factor is once they get nervous, margin debt adds to that nervousness, and it's at an all-time high. And that's just going to add to the problem going forward. But I think it's primarily just the threat of decreasing liquidity is what's starting to change this market right now.
Well, Doc, I think that's a good point about the margin debt that you just brought up, because we also saw over the last 2 years, record amounts of new investors come into the markets for the first time. People opened trading accounts for the very first time. They were stuck at home. They decided maybe they were out of job or maybe they were working from home, and they decided, you know what, I'm going to start trading. And a lot of them had a pretty easy start. And now that we've seen a lot of that money evaporate, I'm wondering if things like record amounts of margin, or we also saw record amounts of insiders selling at the end of last year in Q4 and in Q1. And when you see insiders selling, they're kind of signaling to the markets that, hey, you know, we think this may be the top for the short amount of for the short period. Do you think that we're going to see some investors shy away from buying the dip until we get more clarity on whether these Fed rate hikes are going to take the markets down into a more prolonged, maybe even recession?
Yes, I think what we're seeing in some of these other sectors, in the high growth stock sectors and the small caps, and what we've seen happening there and the carnage in biotech and other areas, I think it plays a psychological impact on investors, some of whom have never seen a really good bear market. And I think that they start to back off. And this buy the dip mentality, we had some buying recently on this, the move down in January, but a lot of that was probably short selling, not true buying with a feeling that, oh, now we're going to go higher again. So I think a lot of that was short selling. So I think the buy the dip mentality is being compromised right now. And I think we're going to see that more and more as we go forward.
All right. Well, Doc, let's switch focus then into the precious metals market, because I know a lot of our audience really wants to hear your outlook for precious metals. And there was one comment that you made on the blog, I believe it was this week, that really took me, not necessarily by surprise, but I noted it pretty heavily in my mind, and that is the fact that you've moved into 90%, even more than 90% cash right now. Give us your thoughts why you're in so much cash right now and not in precious metal stocks.
Well, because, Corey, I said back in December, and I always try to walk my talk, and I said back then that we're going to have to be cautious about just about every asset class going into 2022. I frankly don't see any good place to put money right now in this environment. And so that's why I'm in the amount of cash I am. And I'm waiting for precious metals to bottom eventually, and they will. I'm glad I've been patient, because they continue to move down, a lot of them. Some of them are pretty close to their bottoms, especially the juniors, and some of them have already reached it, by the way. But there are some mid-tiers and also large-cap stocks yet that have to get there, so I'm in no hurry. And the fact that the juniors have been hurt tells you that the other ones, the mid-tiers and some of the large-cap, are still at risk with time, and so I'm just biding my time. And when I do get back in the market, I'll start mentioning it on your website when I get more aggressive. But I believe we aren't there yet.
Well, Doc, based on that and the fact that the gold price and the silver price really aren't breaking down, they're not breaking out, but they're not breaking down either. They're kind of just stuck in a range. But the stocks have really been hit hard. When you do start positioning with some of that cash, are you going to go for some of the smaller juniors that are already beat up by 60 to 70%? Or will you jump into some of those producers and those mid-tiers that tend to move first in the cycle? How will you be positioning when you do start deploying cash?
I will take percentages of where I'm at and put a percentage in each of those levels. I'll probably stay away from large cap. I'm just not a large cap person. I feel your returns can be so much better in mid-tier and in some of these juniors that particularly are still good companies, and they can move really phenomenally compared to a large cap corporation. And so I'll probably stick to mid-tier mostly. I'll buy a little bit of the major producers, but I like to stay with the mid-tier and the juniors with some large caps sprinkled in there.
Doc, how long do you think you're going to be largely out of the market? Because in all fairness, being that high in cash, you are taking a very defensive strategy. Any general time frame that you think things could improve where you will get more aggressive?
I think by pretty much June, I think... on a lot of these will have found their bottoms, even the mid-tiers, by June. And then I think what will happen after that is I think they're going to develop trading ranges at the bottom for a while, and they'll move up and down then. But the trading range will show you that they have established it. And that's, I think, based on what I'm seeing on the charts, the best time to buy is going to be in the first half of this year, but more toward the second quarter.
Well, Doc, just to play the other side of it, because as you know, I don't think it's a secret. I'm very fully deployed. I'm probably as deployed in the mining stocks as you are in cash. So we're kind of on different ends of the teeter-totter. So my question would be, you know, in a friendly sense, what if the markets actually start taking off in March when the Fed starts hiking rates? Are you at risk of being in too much cash and then needing to chase some of these stocks higher? Because we know when they move, they can really move quick. So is that a risk that you're taking?
It is a risk. But looking at my technicals right now, the odds of that happening, I think there's going to be an exception to that rule this year. And I know people have talked about that. But because of the inflation and other situations we're in, I think you may not see that this time. And I can tell usually when a breakout is happening, and we are so low now, it doesn't matter if I wait, because I can take, you know, a fairly good position quite quickly in these stocks and we'll still be 80% off the highs. So I'm not too concerned about that, actually, Shad. And but I'm watching my charts very closely for that possibility, because you are correct. There is always that possibility, and I certainly entertain that.
Doc, what's your assessment of how low the volumes have been in a lot of these stocks? We've gotten comments on both sides. The one side, obvious comments of, look, low volumes mean lack of interest for these stocks and the sector. The other side saying, oh, all the sellers are washed out, so the downside is limited because we're seeing lower volume and no one's willing to sell anymore. I always argue that if a stock is anywhere above zero, there can be more selling, but that's also just more of a negative outlook on things. What's your assessment, though, of the lower volume in the stocks?
Well, some of these stocks, actually, if you look, the last 2 years, the volume has been pretty heady, and it still is. And some of them are starting to tail off now. And if you look at past history, when that happens, I think you're going to see more and more of that, by the way. When you see that, it's a multi-month period before we get a good run again. So, but some of the volume has really, when you look at the monthly charts on some of these, have been pretty impressive for 2 years. And but I am seeing the volume starting to tail off, especially in some of these stocks that are juniors. And once that starts to happen, if you look historically at these runs, you'll see that happen. And then you're talking about a multi-month, you know, lower volume time frame where these stocks just kind of settle down. And by the way, I think when we settle down on a lot of these stocks, it's not going to be like March 2020, where we just had a sudden drop and then we took off again. I think when we find the bottom, most likely pretty close to mid-year, it's not going to suddenly take off. I think we've had so much damage here that it's going to take time to equilibrate these things. And so people will be able to pick and choose what they want to get back into.
Well, Doc, just one question about what you think may start moving first. I mean, generally, the accepted view is that you'll see gold move first, and then eventually silver will come along, and then the mining stocks. But we've also seen different time periods where the miners and silver actually led gold lower and led gold higher. Which one are you going to be looking to break out, or which one do you think will break out first? Will silver and the mining stocks lead the charge higher ahead of gold and sniff it out early? Or do you think it will take gold finally breaking out in price above 1900 to get more momentum?
I think it'll be gold because I think second half of the year, we're going to see the change inflation, the rate of inflation quieting down finally. So that'll be disappointing at first. But I think they're not going to be able to get inflation back to the base level before we've had this recent run. It'll be probably a stair step higher. And then when they have to stimulate this economy again, which I think will slow down, but it'll slow down gradually. I think when they have to stimulate it again, I think gold's going to be the preferred spot to be versus silver. But silver will catch a bid then too.
All right, Doc, we're wrapping it up here. Thank you for spending the first two segments with us on the weekend show. Always interesting to hear what your strategy is, and I think very interesting to hear just how defensive you're being here and how you think that a wide range of market sectors are going to be under pressure for at least the first half of this year. Again, mostly based on tightening cycles by a lot of the central banks. Doc, hey man, great having you on the show. Thanks again for your time. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.